This morning, we are continuing together in our Christmas series, All I Want for Christmas. And in this series, what we're looking at what the scriptures have to say about the gift of Christ, the gift of the Messiah, and what he brings into our lives. Last week, we looked at the gift of the righteous branch, as spoken of in Jeremiah, and talked about how the branch reminded God's people that despite their sin, he would not give up on them, and that through his righteousness, he would make them acceptable before God and overcome their sin. And as we did last week, we're going to kick off this week opening a present. And so I'm going to need somebody to help open the present this week. Is there anybody that wants to help open this week's present? Felix is not here. I see Andrew Neust. Andrew, your hand is up. Andrew, come on. Listen, I know the fear, because you see, last week's wasn't really a present, right? It was a stick. So you're thinking, I don't want to go up there and open something that's lame. Don't worry. Today's present, it is a real present. It's the type of thing that, like, we give on Christmas all of the time. So this is a good one. All right? You look super jazzed about this. All right. Open it up. Show us what we got. You got this. That's good. This is like practice for Christmas. Open it up. Show us what we got. Well, open it. Open what's in the penguin. It's only going to be better. What? Soap? Oh, man, that's great. And it's better than soap, people. Show them. It's on a rope. That elevates the soap to a whole nother level. Now, do you want to keep that, or you want me to hold on to that? You don't want to keep the soap? All right, I'll take it. Unless your parents think you need to keep that.
No.
Okay. All right. Hey, thanks for helping me out, buddy. Yes, soap. Soap, and again, soap is a common gift. No doubt you've given it and received it. Actually, this past October, we gave my mom some nice handmade soap for her birthday. I mean, it's a regular gift that we do give, unlike a branch that we talked about last week. Although, I mean, have you ever thought about what it's saying when you give somebody soap? It's kind of like saying, when I thought, who could use some soap? You know, I thought of you, because you are a stinky, dirty person. So, you know, you're going to love this. That's kind of what we're saying when we give soap to people. Now, I don't think that's what we usually intend. I don't think that's what we are thinking. But honestly, actually, when God talks about the gift of the Messiah as soap, that's pretty close to what he's talking about. Why don't you turn with me this morning to Malachi 3, 1 and 2. That's Malachi 3, 1 and 2. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, or if you've got an app, if you're looking in your Bibles, it's the last book of the Old Testament. So if you can find Matthew, just go a little bit in the other direction, and you'll come upon Malachi. And we're going to be in Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 together this morning. And these are the words we read in Malachi 3, 1 and 2. Through the prophet, God says this to his people, "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or launderer's soap." So what does it mean Why would God tell his people that the launderer's soap is coming and Christ the Messiah, the promised Savior? Well, we want to understand context. Context is always important. Whenever we're doing something like this, where we're really jumping back into the middle of an Old Testament passage, because last week when we looked in Jeremiah, we saw that those words were intended to comfort and encourage God's people during an especially difficult and tumultuous time in their life and history. And as we pick up in Malachi 3, 1 and 2, it's like the exact opposite. And by that I mean, it's supposed to be. Listen, your lives are a mess with sin. I am sending the launderer's soap to help clean up your act. When we pick up together in Malachi 3, we go back, and when we left off with God's people last week in Jeremiah, they were worried, they were afraid, they were surrounded by the Babylonians, and God said to them, listen, there's going to be consequences for your sin, and yes, you are going to fall. And Jerusalem did, and the temple did, and they were hauled off into slavery. They went into Babylon. But God, true to his word, was faithful. He watched over his people, and sure enough, 70 years later, he gathered them back together. They came together once again as a nation. When does that ever happen? And not only that, but they were able to return, they were able to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, they were able to rebuild the temple. All of those good things were happening. But in the midst of all of that, something else happened as well. And that's that they reestablished all of those bad, sinful habits and patterns that had gotten them into trouble with God in the first place. Covetousness, idolatry, abuse of the poor, calloused hearts, lazy, thoughtless worship. All of these things, they fell right back into all over again. In fact, the book of Malachi is written to address these sins that are continuing to show up in the hearts of God's people after all that they've been through. But the problem, that the struggle is this. They've been through all of this tumultuous, difficult times, but God has continued to love them. God has continued to stand by them. God even faithfully brought them back after all of the rotten things that they did. And it's almost like there's an attitude in their hearts that says, I mean, we're God's people. He loves us. He cares for us. He's never going to give up on us, no matter what, the righteous branch. So what's the big deal if we do what we want? What does it matter? And we can point back at them and point a finger and shake a no-no, but the same thing happens in New Testament believers today. I've heard it more than once when a believer, and we are never so bold as to say it outright, but this is what we say in our hearts. Hey, I am saved. Jesus died on the cross for my sins, past, present, and future. And once saved, always saved. So no matter what I do, I know I'm going to heaven. I know my sins are forgiven. I know God loves me. So I can do whatever I want. So God's going to forgive me no matter what I do. So what's the big deal if I sin a bunch in my life? It's already forgiven. It's already taken care of. And you know what, friends? Sometimes we are just smart enough to be really big dummies. That attitude is like a husband. A husband who's heading in to the Christmas season and says to himself something like this. You know what? My wife loves me. And you know what? She loves me till death do us part. And she's always stuck by me, and she will always care for me no matter what I do. And you know, I told her I loved her when we got married, so you know what? I don't need to do anything for her this Christmas. I don't need to get her anything, and not in a, like, let's not have a materialistic type of Christmas, in a, I just don't need to put any thought or effort into it. I don't need to get her a card. I don't need to do anything for her. She'll be fine. She's going to love me no matter what. She has to. She married me. Listen, gentlemen, If that thought ever enters your brain, you best get it out right now. All right, listen, I'll probably be out of the office not a lot for the Christmas season, but we can start marriage counseling like the first of the year. I mean, you'll probably be calling me. We will probably need to be talking about it, because if you have that attitude, my wife loves me and cares for me, and she's devoted to me no matter what, so who cares what I do? You're not going to have a good Christmas. It's not going to go over well. But that's what we're, in effect, saying to God. That's what they're saying to God when we have that type of attitude. And so Malachi, when these words are written, you can understand that God is rightfully and understandably distressed that they would abuse his love and care and grace in this way. And God says, when the Messiah comes, we're going to address this problem. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Now, this reference to a messenger who will prepare the way before the Messiah, that's actually a reference to another person that we often hear about during Christmas time, and that is John the Baptist. If you read about the Christmas story in the Gospel of Luke, you will read, even before you get to Christ, you will read about the miraculous birth of John the Baptist, and how John and Jesus are connected even from before they're born. The moms meet each other. And in his mom's womb, John the Baptist is doing jump flips because he's so excited that the Christ, the Savior, has come. And his life and ministry is to prepare the way, to prepare the hearts of Israel for the coming of the Messiah. And it's interesting, kind of connecting the context of what we've talked about in Malachi to what we read about with John in the New Testament. If you think about John's message and what he does, his message again and again you'll read is this. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. You need to understand that your lives are sinful and broken, and that's not okay. And confronting Israel with the reality of their sin as he prepares them for Christ, the Messiah, the launderer's soap. Then we're told, suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. And then, in God's timing, the messenger of the covenant, the one who brings about the new covenant, will come. Christ, the Messiah, God made flesh, appearing even in the temple in Jerusalem. And when he does, we're told in verse 2, who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. And all of a sudden here, Malachi's going in a different direction than his readers thought, because they thought they wanted the Messiah to come. They were ready for the righteous branch that reminded them of the hope they have in God, of his grace, that he would be their righteousness. But he says, who can endure the day of the Messiah's coming? Who can stand when the Messiah comes? And the answer that's implied is no one. And the reason for this is because our lives, their lives, are a mess with sin. And when he comes, Christ, the Messiah, the launderer's soap, is going to want to clean up that mess in their lives. Who can stand when he appears? No one. Because all of our lives are a mess with sin. For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. Now, refiner's fire, we're used to that imagery, right? I mean, that's the type of thing we write songs about. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy. None of you are singing along with me, so I'm going to stop. But yeah, I mean, we're used to that imagery, right? We talk about that a lot. But what's interesting to us is that the launderer's soap, if a refiner's fire is kind of this, you know, molten, like burning intensity, when we think about soap, we think about relaxing. We think about, oh, beautiful smells. We think about that bath bomb your secret Santa got you, and you're just waiting for a nice quiet afternoon to have a good soak in the tub. You know, that's what we think about when we think about soap. It kind of seems the opposite of a refiner's fire. So what's going on here? And first of all, I think we need to understand that there was no ye olde Bath and Body Works when Malachi was written, okay? They didn't have soap the way we do it today. There was no Dial or Zest, and you couldn't get like, oh, strawberry kiwi soap, and oh, sage lemon, and oh, I got peppermint. There were no smells. There was no foaming hand soap. There was no liquid soap. There was no pump soap. Honestly, even bar soap, as we know it, like one of the most common forms of soap, that wasn't invented until 400 BC, so that wasn't around either. So when they talk about launderer's soap, the question is, well, what are they talking about? Well, the Hebrew word here is potash. What is potash? Well, the closest we can probably come today to that is something you may have heard of before, and that is lye. Now, if you've heard of lye, it's for one of two reasons. One, because you've made soap yourself, and that is a part of the process even today. Or two, you wanted to make your own pretzels at home. And when you look it up, they say, use lye to make the best pretzels. But no matter what, if you have ever looked into using lye, if you Google it, L-Y-E, not L-I-E, this is the first thing that's going to come up. You're going to find it again and again. Don't mess around with lye. You better be careful. You better wear glasses. You better put on protective gloves, because lye does not mess around. Lye will burn you. That's what lye is. It is something very toxic that you have to be very careful about using. Back in the Old Testament times, the way that potash or our modern equivalent lye would be made is this. It's pretty much in the name. Step one, get a pot. Step two, fill it with ashes, actually. Ashes from burnt hardwoods, and you would fill the whole pot up. And then what you do is you would fill that pot up with water and you would let it soak for a long time. And in that time, this is what would happen. All of that toxic acidity of those ashes is seeped out of those small remains of the wood and into the water. Then you pour out the water, you get rid of those dregs that are left behind, and what you have is a very acidic compound known as potash. And you could use that then to clean your clothes. And the way it would work is this, that they had much sturdier clothes than we do back then, so that's part of why this worked as well. But you would soak your clothes in that acidic water, and then it would attack the dirt and grime and things that are on your clothes, and then you would pull it out. You would obviously have to wash it off, and then you would have to dry it, and then you would have to beat it clean. It is not a relaxing, soothing process. It was volatile, intensive, and taxing. And so when God says the launderer's soap is coming, it's not talking about having a nice afternoon bath. It's talking about God scrubbing that sin out of the lives of his people. This is the promise we have in the Messiah. The promised one, Christ, who was born that very first Christmas, that he will be the launderer's soap, that he will clean up the mess of sin in our lives. But here's where it actually gets hard. Because it's easy to probably figure out that, you know, Jesus, the launderer's soap, is going to clean up the sin in our lives. I mean, you might not have known about potash and how it was made, but you could have got pretty close on your own. I think the harder question for us is that if Christ, the Messiah, the launderer's soap, has come, why do we still have so much sin in our lives as believers? I mean, if we've got the gift, if we've got the soap, if it's come and active in our lives, why are our lives still a mess with sin? Why do we have misplaced priorities? And this Christmas season, we are much more likely to go out and spend $20 on a fruitcake for Aunt Gertrude that we know she will just throw away anyways, than we are to spend $20 and give it to Southside Mission or Peoria Rescue Mission, who are going to help the poor and needy this time of year. Why is it that when your wife is coming in from shopping and she's got her arms full of Christmas packaging because she went out to get all the stuff for the kids, why are we more likely to sit there just watching whatever we've got on TV that we could pause probably because you're watching it on streaming or something, than we are to get up and actively help her and serve her? Why? Why do we care more about tradition than actual people? And so you get a call from your parents or your kids and your grandkids, whoever it might be, and they say, just things with COVID are really bad where we're at right now, and we don't think we're going to be able to make it this year. And our first instinct is not, we love them, we care for them, we want them to be healthy and well, we don't understand the situation where they're at, we know it's different everywhere. Our first instinct is instead, that's not a big deal. You know, you should be here. Like, well, why aren't you coming? It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And really, we want our Christmas to be our way, the way we want it. It's not going to be the same without you. And you're guilting your parents or your grandparents or your kids or your grandkids to do what you want. Why do we do that? If the launderer's soap has come, why do we still have that sin in our lives? That's a much tougher question. And I think the answer comes from understanding how Christ cleans up the sin in our lives. I think we need to understand how he seeks to do it. And the truth is this, that God seeks to clean the sin in our lives through the power of his Holy Spirit. God seeks to clean the sin in our lives through the power of his Holy Spirit. It's through the Spirit that comes in and dwells within each and every one of us that God seeks to make us holy, to refine us, to clean up the sin that's there. And when we talk about this, it's important to understand this, that in the image of the refining fire, and the image of the launderer's soap, please note that in neither of those does the metal refine itself. No, the fire refines the metal. Does the clothes clean themselves? No, the launderer's soap makes them clean. And all of these processes, it is an outside entity, God, seeking to make us clean. So this isn't something that we do on our own, that we have the capability to do on our own. We cannot just clean up the sin in our lives by trying really hard, by making sure that we know that the Bible says that, you know, we should give to the poor. We know the Bible says that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. We know that the Bible says that, you know, we shouldn't disregard the law of God for our own traditions. We know these things, but it's not just enough to know them. We have to have the Holy Spirit in our lives to clean us and mold us and shape us. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 6:11. He says, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. We were justified, our sins were forgiven. I guess we go up when our sins are forgiven. And we were made righteous through the work of Christ on the cross. We talked about that at length last week. But if you think about it, that still left us as broken, sinful people whose sins are forgiven and who are righteous in the eyes of God. Well, that's where sanctification comes in. That's where the work of the Holy Spirit comes in. That's where launderer's soap, that's where making ourselves holy comes. This is a work of God in our lives that we have to allow him to do. But again, there's still that struggle, right? I mean, if it's something God's going to do in our lives, why do we still have that sin? Well, to explain that, let me explain to you bath time. We have a 4-year-old son at home, just turned 4. And I, every now and then, get the honor of giving Felix a bath. And here's the thing. Felix loves bath time. He really does. He will take a 20 or 30 minute bath and just love it. Long after the water has grown tepid, he's still there. He's pouring cups. He's playing. He wants to take his Batman playset in that he got for his birthday. Felix loves taking a bath. And you know what? Felix doesn't even mind if I, you know, give him a scrub-a-dub while he's in the bath. Scrub his arms, scrub his legs, scrub his hiney. I mean, you know, he's fine. He's got no problems. Until I say, Felix, all right, it's time to wash your hair. Then, all of a sudden, is a different story. No, 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 me done, no, no, me. He's like trying to get out of the tub before I can wash his hair. He's having like a pre-panic attack just at the idea of me washing his hair because he is sure that it's going to hurt. He's sure he's not going to like it. He is fighting me tooth and nail. Friends, I think that's very much an image of the work of the Spirit of God in our lives as he seeks to clean up the sin that's there. Because here's the beautiful truth. Most of you that have been believers for some time, your lives have been cleaned up. There are countless sins that through the Spirit of God, he has washed you clean. Maybe for you, maybe it was that anger problem. Maybe it was coarse language. Maybe it was that you used to be a very unempathetic person, and God has given you a heart for others. Maybe God's helped you overcome an addiction. All of us can look back in our lives and see areas where God has absolutely helped wash us clean and changed us. But we all also have areas of our lives where we're not really interested in God washing us clean. Where we say, no thanks. I like it this way. I'm good. Maybe we're afraid that we won't like it. Maybe we're afraid it's going to hurt us. Maybe we just don't want to go through the process. Whatever it might be. We've all got those areas in our lives where, yeah, God, you can clean these up. That's just fine. But God, don't touch my hair. God, don't talk to me about, you know, how I use my finances. God, don't talk to me about how I treat others. God, don't talk to me about traditions and things like that. God, I have it just the way I want. I will take care of that. You stick to cleaning the other areas of my life. And so, there's still sin in each and every one of our lives. And friends, honestly, this side of eternity, there always will be. But the work of God, the sanctifying work of his Holy Spirit that comes to us through the gift of Christ the Messiah who purified us so that that Spirit could come, is that the launderer's soap is there, is willing, is ready, is able to help us clean up that sin in our lives, whatever it might be. If, and this is a big if, we're willing to allow God to do that good work in us. Will you close with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer this morning, and Lord, all of us have sin areas in our lives where we struggle, where we don't want to give up control, where, Lord, we don't necessarily want to hear what you have to say, or maybe we're torn because we do, but we're afraid that it will be difficult or we'll get hurt or what will happen, Lord, if we turn that area over in our lives, so we waver back and forth. Lord, whatever it might be, first and foremost, forgive us. But Lord, we ask that through your Spirit, you would help us to be open to that change. That Lord, we might allow you to work and move in our lives. Lord, that as we enter into this Christmas season, Lord, that we would be willing to accept the gift and work of the launderer's soap in our lives together. We pray these things in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Let me leave you this morning with the word of the Lord from 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all as you go forth this week. You are dismissed.